Hello, ladies. How's everyone doing this lovely evening?
Chilling.
Yeah, but it's really warm. Like, I'm not complaining because it's end of September, but it's really warm. And like, I had to turn my fan off to record. But we still move. We always go. So
we always move.
Yeah. What was the temperature like though? Was it sunny in London?
It was like 25 degrees.
I don't know. I didn't go outside.
Well, then the thing is, my flat gets really hot because it's really well insulated. So even if the windows and doors are open all day at night, when I shut them because of bugs, because they don't pay rent, it gets really warm. And I'm not having spiders in my house because they have eight legs and don't pay rent. And I think that's freeloading. So
Mumbler's issue is if you don't pay rent, get the hell out.
Just get out of my house.
Yeah.
I live in the country, so there is always some next big ass spider crawling at in my house. So much so that Curtis names them and we check if they're still here. I mean, they're freeloaders, but we've accepted that. One time Curtis put it out and the next day we found the same spider back in the house.
How do you know it was the same one?
Because it was this big. We've never seen a spider that big in our lives, or there must just be big spiders around here. But it was
what
the
if it was his brother or sister?
Well, Curtis eventually killed it, so
what?
No more. I know. I at first I was like, oh, don't kill spiders. But like, I'm out. Don't indict Curtis, anyone. But I feel like at first Curtis didn't want to kill it, and I kept making him like take it out at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Would wake up and see the spider, and I'd be like, oh, take it outside. And then one day I came downstairs, and Curtis was like, yeah, I had to get rid of it. It was getting too comfortable thinking it run the house because it was just running up and down. And guys, like, yeah, I just felt uneasy. So don't indict him, but we kill spiders around here. But yes, you know what's really interesting? We normally do the recording on a Friday or on a weekday, on a weekend, so we get to drink. But it's during the week, and look at us, all sensible. No drink, no alcoholic insulin, nothing.
I almost said it to myself when I was making my dinner. I almost made a gin and tonic, but I was like, damn it, it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Remind just,
I was like, it's Tuesday.
Genuinely Tuesday. It's like, here I am trying to get my hydration in. I have not finished my 2.2 litre bottle today and I'm behind. That's why I have a headache. Drink your water, guys.
That bottle?
Huh?
Was that bottle filled up at the start of the day?
Yes.
You're like a
queen. And I'm embarrassed.
You know, you've got, what, 3 hours and a half?
Left of the day.
No. You see, I substituted my water intake for coffee. But anyway, that's not what we're here for.
I know. Anyway, we can get carried away. But welcome back, everyone. And thanks for tuning in again. We have another exciting crime episode for you this week. I'm really excited because I feel like every single time we have these conversations, I go away thinking about crime, watching more crime documentaries. So I'm really excited to see what CMO has in store for us today. You ready?
Yeah.
I will hand it over. Lead us away.
Okay. Well, hello guys, this is Mr. Meanwhile episode 6 and I am here with another story for you. I'm just going to add a trigger warning to this story because there are some triggering aspects to it, and I just want to make sure that our listeners are fully aware that what they're getting themselves into, and I don't want to catch anyone unaware. So the trigger warnings are sexual assault and murder.
Not just the listeners, me as well.
Sorry.
Didn't we say about positivity last time or something?
I know, but this is a crime podcast. How often are you going to find positivity in crime?
Like, we lured you in the last episode and bam, trigger warning this episode.
Trigger warning on the last one too, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, that one needed one, but yeah. We'll just trigger warn all of them going
forward. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, just like the whole podcast trigger warning, just, crime. Mm-hmm. So today, this story will take us to America once again, a place called Bethesda in Maryland.
Bethesda,
yeah. So Bethesda is quite usually a very quiet, sleepy town. Nothing really much happens there, not much crime. But this story takes place in 2011. So March 11th, 2011. Police were called to a Lululemon store in a strip mall when one of the managers arrived to open up but found the store unlocked. So she went in.
I just saw Damini's face. She got so excited.
Oh, God. You know this one. Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know it, so you can talk to me.
Oh, okay. I'm talking to you and the listeners. Hopefully not everyone knows this one, but it's a pretty good one. So she not only found the store open, but it looked like it had been ransacked. And she walked towards the back of the store and she heard a faint groan. And she was like, nope, got the hell out of Dodge, ran out the store, ran to the front, as any sensible person would do. If you hear something, then I'm a big advocate of the nope.
Yeah.
As soon as I see something, it's a nope and I run, right? So she ran out of the store, and next door to the Lululemon store in Bethesda, in a strip mall, is an Apple store. And outside the store was pretty busy. They had just released the iPad 2. So obviously what happens with Apple stores when they release new stuff, there's always people queuing, a lot of activity. And a man called Ryan saw the store manager run out and offered his help. He said, is everything okay? And she said, no. I think someone's broken into the store. Ryan offered himself as a gentleman to go in and investigate. So he went in and he ventured towards the back of the store where the store manager, Rachel, had not been to previously. He saw two people unconscious in the back of the store. And one was, and they were both identified as two fellow employees of the Lululemon store. The first was Brittany Norwood, who is an African-American girl. And the second was Jana Murray, and she's Caucasian. So Brittany was found alive with her arms cable tied above her head and her feet cable tied too. She was going in and out of consciousness and just slight groans, which is what Rachel heard in the first instance. And her leggings were found slashed at her crotch. She was also sliced all over her body and had a huge cut on her forehead, like a gash. Unfortunately, Jana was found in a small corridor towards the back entrance of the store, face down in a pool of blood. There was blood all over the walls, bloody footprints, and items later identified to have been used as weapons strewn across the area. Jana's head had been bashed and battered, and also she also had a slash in the crotch of her bottoms. And the police pronounced her dead at the scene. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of background about Jana. She was 30, very athletic, very smiley, adventurous, and described by friends as a happy girl that was full of life. She was studying for two postgrad degrees at Johns Hopkins University at the time of her death, and was working in Lululemon just to get some money and pay her way through school as well. She was 10 weeks away from graduating from both of her master's degrees simultaneously. I know. The second girl, Brittany, was 28 years old. She was petite, athletic too, and she played a lot of sports, and she was on a soccer team for her uni. And she aspired to be a personal trainer and was interviewing for a role at the local Equinox, which is like a posh gym in America. I don't know what the equivalent is, maybe like Third Space or whatever.
Like David Lloyd or something.
Yeah, or even higher than that. There's one called Third Space, which is like £230 a month or something.
What is this?
They have one in Canary Wharf. That sounds familiar.
Yes, they have one in Canary Wharf. Yeah, we're not sponsored, but Third Space, if you do want to sponsor me, I will take it.
Do they give you manicures, pedicures, massages?
I don't know, but I'm hoping for that fee that someone will work out for me and then just hand me the body.
You know? I'm hoping to
give you the body when they're done.
I know.
Productions. That's like a installment for lipo. You might as well,
Please don't give me ideas, because lipo's already crossed my mind today. anyway, back to the story. So, when they found that Brittany was alive, they rushed her to the hospital. And Deanna Mackey was the officer that interviewed Brittany when she was there. They wanted to get the story as soon as possible, fresh from the horse's mouth, just so they could piece together what happened, because it was gruesome.
They were able to speak to her at the scene?
No. So they took her to the hospital. Okay. and then she became a bit more coherent at the hospital. So as soon as she was able to speak, they spoke to her, they interviewed her straight away. So Brittany said to the officer that the night before, Jaina and Brittany had closed up and left for the night, and it came out that essentially this store was understaffed. So usually three people stay, but they're understaffed, so it was only Jaina and Brittany. And then they both left. Jaina got into her car, was driving off. Brittany was walking towards the metro to get the subway or whatever kind of public transport it was. She realized that she forgot her wallet in the store as she was trying to get her metro card out to get on public transport. So she called a colleague who gave her Jaina's number, and she called Jaina, and Jaina said, oh yeah, I'm not too far away. I forgot my laptop too in the shop. So we'll both meet up there. You'll get your wallet, I'll get my laptop, and then we can go home. Cool. So they both got back to the store. They looked around for 10 to 15 minutes and they couldn't find the wallet. Jaina was actually really nice. So she offered Brittany her metro card if she couldn't find it, because she had one and she was driving home anyway. So she said that if worst comes to worst, you can have my metro card. Then Brittany also said that two men burst into the store wearing all black head to toe, wearing face masks, came out of nowhere, and one punched Jaina in the head and the other dragged Brittany to the back of the store by her hair. Brittany described them to be, one to be around 6 foot, so the one was tall and the other one was shorter, around 5'3". And they were apparently yelling horrible racial abuse, horrible slurs, calling them whores, insulting them, just saying not very pleasant things whilst they were attacking them. So Brittany says that even though she couldn't really see their faces, she thought that they were white men. Don't know how you can tell that with someone's voice, but you know.
They might just have looked ashy.
But they were head to toe in black with gloves on, like, so how can you tell?
Oh yeah.
And they're wearing masks. So anyway, maybe if you see around their eyes or whatever.
Yeah,
maybe. So then she said, Brittany said that the shorter man was the one who attacked her and the taller man was the one dealing with Jaina. So the shorter man apparently sliced her body, dragged her to the back of the store to the bathroom, sexually assaulted her, picked up a wooden clothes hanger that was nearby and sexually assaulted her with that.
Wow.
All the while, she could hear Jaina being beaten by the other man and was screaming bloody murder. And through the corridor and through the doorway, Brittany said that she could see bits and bobs of what was going on to Jaina. So hearing the noises, seeing bits, seeing him punch her, drag her around, throw her, all sorts of stuff, the violent attack. So Brittany also said that she was made to open the cash registers and the safes so they could take all the money. And then they, and they tied her together with the cable ties and threw her in the bathroom where she hit her head and passed out. Now, when Brittany was telling the police this story, she was hysterical. She was crying. She was clearly traumatized. And then she kept asking, is Jaina okay? Is my friend okay? How's she doing? Not knowing that she had actually passed away. And everyone was just describing it as they felt really bad for her because she was just so oblivious to the fact that her friend had died in this horrible attack. So, and then she says that she kept saying that Jaina was so innocent. She was so innocent. So that was a bit like, it was one of those things that was tugging at people's heartstrings. It was sad. So if we go back to Jaina, the autopsy produced quite horrific results. So this is a graphic description ahead. So if you're squeamish, then you might want to just fast forward for the next like a minute or so. So the autopsy report concluded that Jaina had suffered hundreds of different wounds from a range of different weapons. This included 232 blunt force injuries to her body.
Jesus Christ.
Yep. 99 sharp force injuries to her body. More than 100 wounds to her head alone.
Oh my God.
Yeah. including 8 cracks in her skull. Her face was destroyed beyond recognition.
Oh, oh,
so sad.
And just to the back of her head alone, there were 37 injuries. And there was a 3.5-inch wound, a 3.5-inch deep knife wound to the back of her head. And that went into
her head.
Yeah, right in the back of her head. And that went straight into her cerebellum.
Oh, my God.
And the fatal blow was that, and it severed her spinal cord. Now,
that
I was
listening. Like grip my head and my neck.
I know.
Personal. That sounds deeply personal. How much hate did that person have for her?
It's very extreme. Right. It's very extreme.
Didn't the person get tired? Don't you get tired from?
I'm gonna say this. How long would that have taken?
Exactly.
It's a long And then the worst bit is that they said that they knew that Jaina had been alive for majority of the inflictions of these wounds because the rest of the wounds bled. Now, that would mean that she was alive, so her heart is pumping, so she'd be bleeding out. Now, once she was dead, the wounds that were inflicted just around that time, they wouldn't have bled. So they found wounds that weren't bleeding, so it was only a couple of wounds that came after she had died.
That's
mad.
Sick. Like, and it sounds bad, but like, you prefer to be dead, like, while someone does this. Because imagine being alive for all of that's horrible.
Yeah, you're just suffering, and it's just horrendous.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, the weapons included, or that were found to have been used, were 2 types of box cutters, knives, a wrench, a pole that holds up a mannequin in a store. So, you know, the thing that holds them up? One of those. And then a rope was found near her neck.
Was all this in the store?
This is in the store, so...
No, I mean, like, all the things that the person used to kill her was in the store.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know, because it was just, like, box cutters, which, you know, when you have a store and you have a stock... You have stock coming, you use a box cutter to open up, like...
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you, I have had no idea what a box cutter was until right now.
Oh, you've never...
No, okay.
I always assumed it was a knife.
No. A box cutter is like this thing where you slide it in. It's kind of like a knife, but it's like it's got a blade in it and you slide it up and down.
Remember in DT when we used to use them to, like, do graphics and stuff and, like, design technology? You guys never got to use box cutters?
I did graphic design, yeah, but I didn't. Do I know what any of the stuff is called?
Did you? Oh, it sounds crazy.
Yeah, well, I have a box cutter at home because I'm in spiritual bondage with Amazon, so I open a lot of boxes. So the police set up a phone line for volunteer information. And they were just lighting up because lots of people were like, oh, we don't know what's going on, but we saw this, we saw that, we saw this, we saw that, we saw this, we saw that. It didn't really yield any results. So the police decided, let's look at the CCTV from the area. No, so Lululemon didn't have CCTV inside the store. And I think it's a lot of the time, I think it's just one of their things, like it's a company-wide thing. They might have changed it now after this.
Yeah.
But before, they didn't have CCTV in the stores, no. I think it might have just been part of their ethos or whatever.
Mm.
Wellness and demander. So the police looked at the CCTV, and sure enough, they saw 1 tall man and 1 short man walking near the store, all in black hats. So it was one of those CCTVs that looks down, so you couldn't really see faces, you just saw people walking past. So sure enough, 2 men, 1 tall, 1 short, were walking around near the store around the time. So they thought, great, found them. They became the prime suspects. Now, the police set up a stakeout to see if the men would return to the area, and they did. So once they saw them, the police got out of their police car and they stopped the men, they apprehended them, and then they showed them the CCTV footage that they had seen around the time of the attack. And they said, yeah, that's us. And however, they provided alibis. They said, we are busboys who work in the restaurant just there, and we were walking home. And that's what we were doing. We were just walking home. We do that every night.
Yeah.
Their story checked out. Other local men were questioned, but were ruled out, including the local homeless man, Keith Lockett. He was known to get drunk at the same bar most nights, but the night of the attack, he was noticeably absent. Now, he was also seen talking to, like, another homeless man who was wearing a backpack, and it was just very abnormal. Like, quite a few people had said that they had seen Keith in the area with another guy looking a bit shifty. But ultimately, Keith was ruled out when the police found him in a hospital the next day, 10 miles away, after being beaten up by another homeless man. Now, Keith did have clothes covered in blood, but the blood on him was fresh, whereas it would have been dried because the attack happened the day before. So they ruled him out. Guy couldn't even string a sentence together. He was that mush up. So they ruled him out. Now, next to the Lululemon, I mentioned that there's an Apple store. Now, the Apple store staff were questioned as well because they were next door and they were in the building at the time the attack was said to have been happening. And they were even seen on CCTV listening to the noises through the wall, but didn't do anything. And when they were interviewed, they were said to have heard begging and someone saying, please don't do this, talk to me. So you don't have to do this.
Why did no one think, let's call the police?
What the hell?
I feel like it was one of those things where they were like, it's none of my business, it's none of my business. But I feel that that's the wrong thing to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, worst comes to worst, you call the police, and if nothing's gone wrong, that's fine. At least you've done the right thing. But if something's going down, then you've called the police and the police are there to help. Yeah, like, that's
like just... It's just a place where there's stores, so you clearly know it's coming from the store next door. Like,
exactly.
It was supposed to have closed as well, so it wouldn't there could be sounds coming out of there.
And they share a wall.
Yeah.
They couldn't use the excuse of not having 911 in their cell plan. It's the Apple store. Devices can call 911, like.
There's iPhones all over the gaff, like somebody could have called. Yeah, so they still didn't do anything. Then the forensic team went into the Lululemon and they found a pair of men's shoes in the store on a shelf. Mm-hmm. And they were underneath another pair of smaller women's shoes now. The shoes that were there were, they looked like they had been cleaned, but they found like a couple of bits of blood on them.
On which ones? Both of them?
On the men's shoes, on the size 14 men's shoes. So they took the shoes and then they matched the footprint with the footprints that were left, like the bloody footprints that were around. Mm-hmm. They matched. It was a perfect match. And that was a bit weird.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason for those shoes to be on the shelf and for the footprints to match.
Mm-hmm.
It's very strange. So... after this whole thing, and after Brittany gave her testimony in the hospital, she went home the day after, and her wounds were said to have been, like, superficial. So they treated her, and she could go home.
Mm-hmm.
Except for her forehead and one other wound where she had to have stitches because they were pretty deep gashes.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, the police went to Brittany's house just to ask for her story again, and it was pretty much consistent, like, same thing, the two men, masks, whatever. And then they also asked her about the shoes. So they said, do you sell shoes in the store? And she said no. And then they asked her, why were there two pairs of shoes in the back? And she said, oh, it's because when customers come in and they need alterations, like, we ask them to, they wear the shoes just to make sure it's like the right length or whatever in trainers, so that's why they're in there. And they said, okay. And that was verified by other staff members. Mm-hmm. So that's like a thing. There are also like a few different things in her story that to the police, they just weren't making sense. There were a few there are a few bits of things that just didn't make sense to them. And then Brittany had also mentioned that Jaina's car was outside the store when the attack happened. However, Jaina's car wasn't outside the store. It wasn't found there after they had been attacked. It was found 3 blocks away with blood smears in it.
Oh.
And a bloody hat, like a Lululemon hat, like a baseball cap.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was blood with and DNA in the car, and the DNA belonged to Jaina. Obviously, it's her car, but also Brittany's DNA was in the car as well, and Brittany's blood. So the police asked her to come back into the station and questioned her about the car and if she'd ever been in it, and she said no, never been in the car. And this was a blatant lie because they found Brittany's DNA in the car. So then the detective began to dig a little deeper because, like, that's a very strange thing to lie about. Like, if they found your blood in the car and you're saying you've never been in the car, like, something isn't right here. So then, because not only did they find her DNA on the hat that was in the car, they found her DNA on the gear stick as well, because her car was a manual, like a stick shift. And yeah. So the police kind of thought, we think that Brittany is involved in this.
Yeah.
Somehow, some way.
Very clearly.
So they sought to get a confession from her. Now, they had nothing concrete to pin it on her. However, one day Brittany called the police to say that she wanted to volunteer some information. So they said, yep, whatever, come in now, you can talk to us, come in now. It's fine. So she says that she had forgotten the fact that she not only did go into Brittany's car, she drove the car, because the two men had forced her to move the car from outside the store to where it was found. And then they said that if she had done anything or tried to escape, that they were going to kill her and kill her family.
She's very stupid.
So Brittany obliged, and she drove the car. And then she said that she was so nervous that she couldn't even get out of the car for a few minutes. So she drove it to where it was found, sat in it for a few minutes. And then she saw a police officer drive by. And the normal thing for anyone to do is, like, run out and run to the police, no? Right? For me, it would be either run out to the police, or if you think someone's watching you or whatever, cause a traffic violation so the police stop you. That would be my main thing to do, but Brittany didn't do that. She was shook.
So is her story that these guys, they said, we're going to stay in the store. You drive the car, but make sure you come back.
Yes.
That's her story is.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She's very stupid.
Exactly. Like, she did not have sense there.
That's her story, and she's
sticking to it.
So that was her story, and she was sticking to it. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, she went into the police station with her brother and her oldest, her brother and her sister. Now, the police came to all of them in the room, and they had already decided that Brittany is guilty in some way, shape, or form of this. And then they came to her, they came to all of them with all the evidence to say, these are all the things that are pointing to the fact that Brittany did something and Brittany killed Jaina, right?
Mm-hmm.
And her sister became so overwhelmed, and she had to leave the room because she was just hysterically crying, and she was like, it can't be true, blah, blah, blah. So they took some, she went home, he couldn't handle it. But her brother Chris stayed with her in the interrogation room, stayed with her while they were questioning her more, and they were asking Brittany, did you do something? And she said no. She said she didn't do anything. Now, the police started using different methods. They said, we know you're lying, we have evidence, we know you did it, just own up to it. And Brittany kept denying it. She was like, no. They even tried to level with her, and they said, look, if you snapped, if you had an argument and you saw red and you blacked out and then all of a sudden Jaina was dead, then that's like, it happens to people, just admit it, come clean, and like, we can get through this, we'll be fine. She kept denying it. She was like, no, that's not what happened. Like, I've told you my story and that's what happened. So they said, okay.
Was she hysterical during this interview process?
So she was upset, but she was less like upset than she had been before. And so the detectives decided to have a divide and conquer method to it. And then so they decided to leave Chris in the room with his sister, because Chris was like, can I just have a few minutes to talk to her?
What's her brother's name?
Chris is her brother, yeah.
Okay.
So Chris was left in the room, in the interrogation room, and then Brittany was asking him, oh, so are they listening? And he was like, yeah, well, you can pretty much assume that they're listening and recording everything that they're saying. So he asked her, Brittany was saying, oh, I just want to go home, I just want to go home. And he was like, well, babe, you're not going anywhere. Like, they're not going to let you go anywhere at this point.
What does she mean, I want to go home?
Exactly. So you can kiss that dream goodbye that you're going home. Like, so
everything will be used against you, like the stupid last minute addition. Yeah. Of they made me drive a car.
Yeah. I just don't understand it either. Like, but then Chris was kept saying to her, he was like, you can tell me, I'm your family, we're here for you, like, we're not gonna abandon you, da 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 da. And Brittany said something. She said, I just don't wanna talk about it here.
Where does she want to talk about it then?
Where does she think she's going?
Where does she want to talk about it? Come on. Mm-hmm. She'd be like, it's okay, so where would you like, dear?
Exactly. Is that over dinner?
Let's go to Starbucks. Let's get a coffee. Exactly. Yeah. Get a pumpkin spice latte and talk about it, huh?
Oh, no. Bless her, Brittany.
How can you say bless her, Sharon? Someone that kills someone like that, you're saying bless her.
It's the naivety of, I don't want to talk about it here, like she had an option.
So that's the first thing that she said that made me kind of chuckle. And then the next thing she said was, I just don't want people to be disappointed in me.
You just killed someone, like, by...
Or did she hire someone to kill her?
Either way, she did that shit. Guilty as hell.
I know, but I want to know why, like, because I'm not seeing why. What's the motive, like?
Okay. So Chris basically tried to reassure her that the family would be there for her and that she should at least tell him the truth. So Brittany started apologizing. She's like, I'm sorry. Brittany says, I'm sorry. Chris is like, why are you sorry? And she says, she doesn't know why she did it. So Chris asked her, were you shoplifting? And then she was like, no. Now Brittany had a history of being a bit light fingered and so Chris decided that he had to ask the question. He was like, were you stealing?
Why would stealing escalate to murder?
Well,
you know what they say, once you can lie, you can steal.
If you can steal, you can kill. Nigerian moms are on something. African moms are on something. They know. They be knowing, you know? So, So, he asked Brittany, did you plan the whole thing? Did you plan the attack on her? And what did Jaina do to warrant the attack? Brittany said that she genuinely forgot her wallet and she went back with her. Now, Chris said, you could plead temporary insanity, or you can create a story. Can you imagine? And this is all being recorded in the police interrogation room. So this is all on tape.
Don't tell me she takes it.
Well. So all of this was happening and they were being listened to and recorded. Now, Brittany began crying again, saying, I didn't know what to do. She then said that Jaina threatened to tell the senior manager that she had been shoplifting, but she still claimed that she didn't steal anything.
So Jaina does make it up.
Well, and then Brittany was also known. Well, Jaina's not really her friend. She's just a colleague. Like, you know, she's like a senior colleague, like a senior manager. Like, she's not even a manager. She's like a sales lead.
Right.
And then Brittany was just a sales assistant in the shop. Okay. Yeah, I don't think they were like friends like that. But you know how as friendly as you can be with your colleagues. Like, obviously, like, I never worked in retail, so I don't know what it's like. Yeah, I don't know the politics fake. For that.
It's fake niceness.
Okay.
Sharon was top shop's finest.
Topshop.
Were you? Yeah. See, I don't think I was cute enough as a kid to work in Topshop because everyone in Topshop was like low key paying, and I wasn't paying enough. Like, as a kid.
thanks, Emo.
It's fine.
I was low key paying then, but now I'm high key paying. I'm joking.
Highest. Yes. It's all about female empowerment, and that's what Mr. Mean was about.
I know exactly. Own it.
Yes. So, she says that. Also, actually, Brittany had been known, she'd been kicked off her sports team because she had stolen from a few of the girls. And before this happened, like, her team knew what she was about. They knew what she was on. They were like, used to warn new people, like, be careful, make sure you lock up your locker and stuff because Brittany's known to steal things.
So, imagine. Like, yeah. Hide your wife, hide your kids.
Exactly.
Brittany's in town.
Yes. The thief. Anyway. So not only was she did she have a history of like shoplifting, she also had a history of being like low-key violent. So when her ex broke up with her, so when her ex broke up with her, she stalked him, broke into his house and burgled him.
Wow.
And then this was his house with his new girlfriend, and so they obviously called the police and they got a restraining order against her, which she subsequently violated by trying to break into their house again and following them when they went to a shop.
She proper had issues, you know.
Yeah, and then they called the police and then they took her away and whatever. But all of this was like expunged from her record. Like, it wasn't on her
police record. Didn't know about this prior to the murder.
Exactly. So once they kind of listened to all the tapes and stuff and heard a conversation with Chris, like, Brittany was arrested for first-degree murder, but arrested in charge of first-degree murder. And the whole town was horrified because they had rallied around her. They thought she was this victim of this attack. Like, everyone was supporting her. Everyone was on this, like, manhunt for these two men because this is a very sleepy town. Like, nothing, like, no crime ever really happens in the area. And for this brutal attack to happen and she survived it, everyone in the town was like, go, Brittany, we love you, Brittany, all sorts of stuff. She was, like, a local celeb, whatever.
Family's like, I'm not convinced.
So, Brittany spent 7 months in prison awaiting her trial, and apparently...
You know, can we just pause there, yeah? Don't you find it how mad how people, although you're innocent before you're presumed guilty, they still keep you in jail for your trial? Because I just think that's just such a... I've been thinking about this recently because I'm just like, people waste their life in jail that aren't even guilty, even though the whole idea is innocent before proven guilty, so...
Yeah,
I guess that's a tricky one though, because, like, so for instance, someone, let's say someone who's like a serial killer or like a violent murderer, those kind of situations.
But in those situations, if someone's a serial killer, you hope by that point they've got the evidence to be like, okay, this person isn't safe to being society. Mm-hmm. But if someone, like, there's people who like get accused of murder, I mean, I guess I was watching the case of like a mother who got accused of murder. There wasn't enough evidence, but just because she was charged, she was kept in prison for like 2 years before her trial even went to court, and then she wasn't guilty. So it's kind of like that time spent can never be brought back to that person. And because they've arrested you, put you in jail, although it can be taken off your record, people still view you as that person that's been charged with that crime. You've got to mention it when you go for job interviews and say why there's a gap in your record. I just think it's a very, for the people who it doesn't serve, it's quite life destroying, those couple months in jail waiting.
For sure. Like, and then also it's just like you would get traumatized by being in jail for so long. Like, if you're just awaiting trial, especially if you didn't do it, like, you'd be shook. Like, if you did it then you're in the right place.
But you guys watched the Khalif Browder story.
That was really sad.
How many people like go to jail and then they're not guilty, but then because you spent time in there waiting for your trial, you pick up skills and then come out being able to commit those crimes? I mean, most criminals learn their best form of criminality and how to practice in prison, so it should be maybe an in-between that isn't jail. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
who on trial, but that's asking too much from our greedy government.
I know, right?
Sorry. Go ahead.
They've got enough to deal with right now, and they're not even doing that right. But
exactly. You
know. No, sure. Let's not sidetrack ourselves with that. Anyway, so she spent 7 months in prison waiting for her trial, and based on like conversations that she's had with like on the phone with family and friends, or whatever, or mainly family, her main concerns are the fact that she didn't have like her hair done, like her weave and her nails, and she was like, "I'm just like I feel really ugly because my weave isn't done and I damn got my nails done." And I was just thinking to myself, like, babe, priorities.
What's this? Yeah,
priorities. Like,
this is who Sharon was saying, oh, bless her for earlier on.
Yeah,
the naivety, but clearly she's still naive, so I'm still thinking, bless her. Like, when she goes to prison for that long,
what's
gonna happen?
Is it naivety or narcissism? That's my thing. Yeah. Like,
I don't know. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Like, I think that she's, like, a bit of a psychopath, a bit of a narcissist. Like, and I don't mean narcissist as in I love myself. I mean narcissist as in the official, like, clinical narcissism kind of shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, in my head, like,
narcissists... zero scruples.
Narcissists sort of take pleasure in what they've done. And I can't... with the crime that's happened... I can't see the taking pleasure in it. However, I can see the fact that the whole town made her this sort of victim and she enjoying the tension from that. So yeah, I do see the narcissism in that. But because she's not revealed the crime, because she's not sort of, not reveled in it, but you know, like most psychopaths, there's an element of sort of like gathering of this sort of what happened in the crime, storing. So I'm not getting sociopath tendencies. I'm psychopath. I'm getting more sociopath. If I'm honest, yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like she knows what she did, if she did do it, was wrong. But you're right, there might be a bit of a screw loose.
Yeah. She's some sort of path.
Yeah, she's like,
some sort of path, like one of them paths.
Yeah. Like lack of awareness as well, though. It's almost like, I don't know, if she wasn't a grown adult, I would say it's almost as if she hasn't really grasped the gravity of what's happened. What's
happening? Exactly.
Yeah. Because she's 28, that's like our age mate. Like,
don't remind me, Damni, please.
Damni says, "Shut your mouth."
Like, why are you baiting on my age for?
Like, our age mate. I was like, she's not even wrong.
So her priorities are all out of whack. So the police and Jaina's family pressed for a full first-degree murder and a full trial because they wanted to know all the details for closure. Now, if Jaina had had a plea deal, she could have pled guilty, and then they wouldn't have had to go through the trial. They wouldn't have had to listen to all the details of everything that happened, and then they wouldn't have to see all the evidence of the things that they believed happened, because the only person that really knows what happened is Brittany. So, but they had a lot of evidence against her at this point. So it turns out that Jaina had caught Brittany stealing some yoga pants and asked her, "Oh, did you pay for these earlier?" Because at the end of the day, a lot of stores, they have this policy where each of you will check each other's bags before you leave to make sure that no one stole anything, right? Mm-hmm. So there was some yoga pants in Brittany's bag, and Jaina said, "Oh, did you buy these?" And she said, "Yeah, the girl who was here earlier, our other colleague, she's the one that rang me up at the till when I bought them." So Jaina was like, "Oh, okay." Went and called the other girl and asked her, "Did Brittany buy anything from you?" And she was like, "No, she didn't buy anything from me." So Jaina was like, "Nabbed." So they had kind of cause, like the senior managers had kind of cause to believe that Brittany had already been stealing from the store. And Brittany had actually been fired from another Lululemon in another town nearby in Georgetown.
Fired from one branch of the same company and another branch hires you.
Because I think they're franchises, so I don't think they're linked.
Oh, okay.
So Brittany got fired from that one. And then when Jaina found her stealing, she had already reported her to the senior manager. But obviously, because it was the end of the day, she was like, "We're going to talk about it tomorrow. Like, let's go home. let's just like sleep, we'll sleep on it, we'll talk about it tomorrow, we'll get this all sorted. So then Brittany was like, all right, okay.
But she'd already that's been when reported. They both,
yeah. So that's when, but she didn't know this. She just thought it was going to be
okay.
Like,
right, okay. See.
She didn't know this. So she thought, let's get ahead of the game right now. But I don't see how murder is getting ahead of the game because you teeth some yoga pants.
Actually, like, in the way that she did it. Like, the way she did it was so graphic and brutal. It's like...
Just because you got caught stealing. I don't, like, not that I say I want to know what was going on in her head, but I kind of do because I don't understand that reaction to... One, you can maybe feel like, oh, it's happened to her so many times, she's kind of panicking. So obviously there's a sense of panic there. But then also that was a really horrific way to kill someone.
Exactly.
To stop this thing from being discovered. So it's like, what else was going on with her? I don't know.
Yeah, she sounds, yeah. It sounds like there was some prior history of maybe mental health there. Because even the fact that her brother says, oh, you can plead insanity, like... Something doesn't feel right with how her brain was operating, like
at all. Like,
no.
So it turns out that Brittany did lure Jaina back and savagely beat her to death. Used the various different weapons on her. Moved Jaina's car, sat in it for an hour, coming up with her story.
Oh my god!
And she was actually. And you know how I said that when she was in the car, she saw a police officer?
Mm-hmm.
The police officer actually saw her in the car, but he didn't really have any cause to
stop her. Yeah.
But he did give a witness statement that he saw her at a certain time. He saw her sat in the car. He did think it was weird because it was late at night and it was like, there's just a woman sat in the car. But he didn't have any reason to like stop. So he just carried on.
For an hour?
Yeah, for an hour coming up with her story. So then she went back to the store, got some clothing from the store, obviously, that was on sale, soaked up some of Jaina's blood in the clothes, smeared it on the floor where she was planning on lying down to make it look like she had been bleeding out, cable tied herself, sliced herself up, gave herself some injuries, walked around in the size 14 men's shoes in the blood to kind of make the footprints. And then, like I said, so she cable tied herself back up and then laid down, waiting to get caught or waiting to be found. So she was actually there for hours.
That not everyone's blood is different. Because I don't understand why she thinks she can put the blood on the floor underneath and they'll be like, oh, she's been bleeding out.
Like, She wasn't the trained killer.
Yeah, it wasn't really well thought out, but it was just very, for me, it's just, when I was doing my research for this, all of the descriptions of everything was just so gruesome. Like, it was gross. Like, I'm okay with blood. I'm fine with blood. Mm. But, like, in the quantity that they said they found, it was like a horror film. Like,
yeah, it sounds horrific.
It does sound like a proper moment of rage.
Yeah.
Like she proper lashed out, like, but poor Jaina, like, she got killed for being a job's worth.
Which,
in it,
fine, might be annoying, but also that's good. She is just doing her job. She shouldn't have died.
Yeah, like,
at all. Like,
you all know job's worth, and like, I've never once thought about literally the amount of pain that she inflicted on that person.
Yeah.
I say that person, Jaina. She inflicted on her was just... But it does sound like... I'm not trying to make excuses for her, but with... You know when you describe, like, on the head alone, 37 different injuries on the head alone? Like,
yeah, on the... That's just the back of her head alone. Head? Like, 100 on her whole head, including her face.
That sounds like rage.
It was like... It sounds like... It was a personal attack. Like, you know, when someone doesn't know you... I think it's more likely that if a stranger attacks you, then they'll just attack you briefly and that's it. But when someone knows you and there's a reason and there's vitriol and there's venom behind the attack, then those attacks seem to be more violent and more prolonged. Because it's like those people are taking out every single bit of anger and upset or whatever from that they have into you, into like attacking the other person. And it's personal, like you said.
I wonder if she had attacked her initially, went and sat in her car, and she hadn't died yet, because you said that some of the injuries were while she was still alive, and then went back to finish the job to make it look like it was a murder. Because I can't imagine killing anyone, but the amount of pain she inflicted feels like it must have been a continued attack rather than an attack in that moment, stop and you're done. It felt like she stopped, started in order to make it look what she wanted it to look like, you know?
Yeah. Well, the judge actually said that he called her the worst, the representation of the worst kind of human behavior. And that after every blow, she had a chance to stop, but she didn't. Mm. And then the judge also went, he said that he went back one day during the trial and he picked something up in his chambers and he lifted it and he knocked it down, like as in he hit a table with it or hit something with it. Like, you see how I'm doing my phone? You pick up your phone and you're hitting a cushion. He did it 330 times and he said it took him over 8 minutes alone just doing that with one item. Now, the fact that multiple items were used in the attack against Jaina proves that she had to stop, go pick up something else.
Exactly.
Stop, go pick up something else. That she had plenty of opportunity to stop what she was doing, but she didn't, which makes it even worse, because it's like, fair enough, or not even fair enough, there's no fair enough. If you kill someone, if you attack someone with one weapon, with a knife, that's bad enough. But to use two types of box cutters, a wrench, a rope, a mannequin pole, a knife, all sorts of things.
She reveled in it.
She enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So her trial lasted 7 days and the jury only spent an hour deliberating and they found her guilty. And she was later sentenced to life without possibility of parole. So she's gonna rot in jail. And and that is the story of Brittany Norwood and Jaina Murray, and that's the Lululemon murder.
I wanna see what her hair and nails are looking like now, probably beat up.
I hope
so. Do you know if anyone's ever like interviewed her or anything after?
So I was looking up doing my research, I'm trying to find some interviews with her. There's only like snippets of like voice recordings, but I'm sure there's more on the internet. I'll look a bit more, but feel free to, if you do find some listeners, if you find some interviews of Brittany, please send me the link or send us the link to the
you know what's really hard about like cases like this where someone's died and then the person that's committed the murder is saying, oh, or who they think has been accused of committing the murder is saying, oh, I didn't do it. It's sometimes hard to know who to believe, the police or the person, because obviously there's cases where the police think they found someone, have made this story perfect, and then you hear the side of the killer and you're like, ah, I do see some flaws now. And I'm not even talking about making a murderer. There's plenty of time women have been accused of killing their children because the police find it, it's easier to paint a story around the closest person than find this killer, especially before there was DNA evidence. Before there was DNA evidence, they normally pinned people who was close by to, you know, accuse them of committing that crime. So I don't like cases like this where the killer never tells us, yeah, I did it. Because I'm like, I'm stuck believing the police word, and you know me and my hate for the police, that's not where I want to be. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like Brittany didn't want us to believe her because her story So her story was just nonsense.
Exactly. And the thing is, if you want to have a story, if you want to get away with something, at least make sure your story is watertight.
It's just nonsense. Mm-hmm.
But in her case, I don't really feel like she was trying to get away with it. I feel like there's something else, and it was very lazy what she did and how she tried to argue. So I would really love to like have an interview. Because did you ever used to watch Piers Morgan when he, Death Row, Women on Death Row? And some of the women some of the women were like blatantly guilty, but they'll be there arguing with him like, I didn't do it. And I find those ones quite like, oh, can I believe what they're saying? Because I guess it lets you make up your mind whether that person did it or not, rather than just having the prosecutors and police's evidence when you're able to hear the murderer's side of the story.
Yeah. I just...
Yeah. It would be interesting to see, I don't know if anyone's spoken to her kind of now, what, 9 years after it's happened?
Should we go speak to her? What
her frame of mind is now, yeah, just because it's just...
It must be doing prison visit by Zoom. We can...
Sure. Yeah.
Next episode.
I'm going to look into that. Like, I'm just going to see. I know it's a long shot, but if we can talk to her.
If we can make misdemeanor about interviewing...
Yeah, that could be like... Yeah, that could be like our season 2 or something. So we.
I like that.
Yeah, if we do a season of talking about these stories, if we can try and get in touch with as many people as possible, if anyone's like,
serious.
I'm being dead.
Here's me thinking we were having a laugh about this.
That'll be really interesting. But anyway, even if it's just a pipe dream, at least we put it into the universe now.
So let us know what you think. Is this something you'd like to see us talking to people in prison or convicted criminals?
Or if they're not alive, or family members, or anything like that. So
yeah,
all I can say is that the Amma boy is strong in me, so I am nosy.
I really don't. I don't like that case. I've heard that. I've watched a couple of like Snapped and stuff like that about this case, and it's just it just makes me uncomfortable. It's like I don't understand it, and I don't understand. Not like, do you get me? I don't get why it happened. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's like
it's like the biggest overreaction I've ever heard. Mm. Like, you know, there's overreacting and there's being dramatic, but this takes the cake. Like,
yeah,
because it turns out like Britney was like, she didn't want to get caught for shoplifting because she didn't want to get fired. And then she said that she wanted to become a PT. And she was like, I think second round to be in the second round interviews for being a PT at the Equinox. So it was like really prestigious, whatever. And she didn't want that. She didn't want to get fired to affect her chances of getting that PT job. So I'm just thinking, you don't want to get fired. So you killed your colleague and made it. And tried to make it look like you'd been savagely attacked and you just were like the lucky victim that escaped alive. Doesn't make any sense.
Not that it would ever have been like worth it, but what makes it even more kind of like pointless was that what's her name? Dana. Dana had already spoken to the manager.
Called the boss.
They'd already spoken to the boss, so you were going to get in trouble tomorrow anyway.
You know that.
No, she didn't.
She didn't know that, but the thing is, all the senior managers had already had her eye on her because people had been like saying, "Oh, I think Britney's stealing stuff already." So, but they didn't have any proof. This was the only time where they were able to say, "Actually, no, we've nabbed you. We've caught you red-handed, saying that you bought these, saying that so and so rang you up, but so and so is saying that we didn't ring you up." They went to go and check the records to see if she rang her up. She didn't. So there was proof that she was stealing these leggings. So I'm just like, so on top of leggings, you concocted this plan to cover up your tracks by murdering your colleague and making yourself look. Yeah, it's not even like murder, like stab you.
Kill, yeah.
Yeah.
You carried out an attack on her. And I think it's also important to say, just as like we're ending off, like obviously there's things here and different factors that play into account. Like such as socioeconomic factors and factors where a lot of Black women find themselves in, where they might be aiming for big dreams like Britney was, but don't feel like they have the resources to get there, where that be, you know, material or even being able to dress nice. You know, there's people who want to go for a job interview, but are scared they don't have nice clothes to be able to go for the interview and so on. But it's really important to remember that those people, they don't result in murder just because they can't have something. The problem with Britney here was the fact that I think what you were right in what you said, CMO, there was a lot of narcissistic tendencies and there was a lot, she sounds like a sociopath because she knew right from wrong. She knew that getting caught stealing would ruin her chances of getting this job. She knew that it would, you know, ruin her image even further. So she knew what was wrong. And instead of facing those consequences, she thought, how can I clear this up?
Yeah.
So there is one side of understanding the side of her that wanted better of herself and wanted to aim higher and have all these good things. But you don't have to kill people in order to get there. She should have just taken that. Get fired. Make it, you know.
Take the L. Like,
exactly.
Also, Shan, just carrying on from what you're saying about her striving for a better life, it turns out when they looked at Britney's computer, there was history of her seeking a sugar daddy on Craigslist, like asking various men who have said that they're going to be sugar daddies how much her allowance would be if they would go into a, like, an arrangement and all that stuff. And Britney was very, she'd also been known to go get her hair done and then leave without paying and accuse someone in the store of stealing the cash that she was going to use to pay to get her weave done. So she went in, got a full head of weave and then didn't pay for it and said that she was going to come back and pay for it and never did. So Britney had tendencies that were kind of more to do with her physical appearance and her gaining,
status.
But also theft.
Wanting to pay stuff.
Just trying to live above her paycheck. Boy, like, that is bold, doing your hair and walking out.
I'm sorry, that is absolutely wild.
I couldn't even imagine
that someone can come and collect the wig off my head.
In it,
those aunties in Burntoke do not play, like, they will follow you.
Exactly. But this is why I think she's a sociopath, because the fact that she had a string of doing these things, she knew what was wrong and what she was doing. She wasn't oblivious to what she was doing, but she kept doing it. Like, we've all been at a point where we're trying to hustle and grind, especially when you're trying to make yourself, like, make your way as a new adult. But to go through all the different steps that she went through, I mean, she should have just kept trying that sugar baby line, because that one seemed like one that could have caught fire. Mm-hmm. And she'll be living now rather than in prison.
And Britney was cute. Britney's cute. Like, if you looked at pictures of her, I looked at her and then all these pictures of her when she's all done up and all that stuff, I'm like, this is a pretty girl. This is a very pretty girl. Like, she could easily have, like, gone to another town and married a baller, you know? Like, and just been jolloffing. But, like, murder was...
murder was the case that they gave her. Murder! Sorry.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Yemo, for that. That was a very... Again... I don't feel like it left me as bad as the one last week, but
all right, sorry.
Yeah, Damini, do better next time. But I still feel like it's quite heavy still, that one. So thank you for the trigger warnings. I'm sure our listeners would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. But before we end, what have we learned from this case? What can we take away?
It's like, there are limits in the pursuit of being a bad bee.
And murder is that limit. It's true. Well, who's seen the clip where it was
murder,
like,
there is the limit. Like, I would.
I was watching a show of the Black Woman sketch show, and there was a clip.
Yeah, Black Lady sketch show.
Where it was like, oh, I want to be a basic, not a basic, an okay bitch. Sometimes it's okay to be an okay bee.
Being a bad bee sounds like too much stress.
Sounds like too much stress.
It's just upkeep. Like, I have a job. I'm employed. I have other side projects. Like, being a bad bee, you'll get bad bee CMO when it's like special occasions, you know.
Exactly. Watch a year from now. Bad bee CMO is coming at you.
So currently I'm sat here with my cane rose in my gym cap and, like,
you're okay being an okay bee.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm currently an okay bee. Bad bee is, there's a time and a place of being a bad bee. Yeah. I know my limits. It's like, when I decide to go for bad bee, you will really, really recognize CMO as a bad bee.
Okay, so you guys gonna get this bad bee.
You gonna learn today.
Glasses. She's talking.
You gonna learn. Yes. It's like, the day that I wanna be a bad bee, you gonna learn. But the other days, I am chilling here, no makeup on, with my glasses on, hair tied, like Drake said, you know, sweatpants. Yes.
Yeah, I think for me, what I'm taking away from that is, be careful, job's worth. You might be doing your job too keenly one day and someone might not like it. And, you know, you catch a massive L for that. So be careful being a job's worth. Although I feel sorry for, you know, Dana doing her job, sometimes job's worth need to know that it's not every day overdo your job, you know what I mean? She was about to close up her shift. She should have gone home and just left
but
it there.
But she did. She did tell him. She was led back.
Yeah, she was led back. You know what? Dana wasn't a job's worth, but yeah, to any job's worth out there listening, it's not every day overdo your job. Sometimes do the bare minimum and go home, innit?
I saw a tweet today and it was like, every job should have 3 CBA days. So it's like, you could just have like a day where you're just like, yeah, CBA, and they'll be like, yeah, go home, like you have 2 CBA days left for the year.
I bet Dana wished that was a CBA day, innit? When she saw those leggings, she was like,
yeah. Damini, what did you take from this?
I'm not gonna lie, I don't think anything. that story really, like, it really messes me up. So
I'm sorry. Go watch a Disney film now.
Yeah, because there's stuff. So this is part of the thing why I'm like fascinated by stuff like this, but also it terrifies me because I'm just like someone like Jaina just literally going about your life and doing what you're supposed to be doing, and someone just kills you out of nowhere. That's why like it's fascinating, all this stuff, but it's also terrifying because it's like, I'm just like, it just scares me. I'm just like all I do is live my life. You get what I mean? But like, I think we're told that, you know, if you do things right and if you do this and you do that and you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's what she thought she was doing as well. And then like, yeah, her life was ended.
Mm-hmm. So sometimes, yeah, I love my family and I love you guys and my friends, yeah. But sometimes I'm like, be careful not to cross people too much, because as much as you love people, but it takes someone to see raids and snap, and it can be people you love as well that, you know, take you out in an instant. Yeah, it's a bit, let's not think that. Let's not think like that.
Let's try.
I was like, I don't think I have any lessons because I'll just be thinking for the whole night.
Let's circle back to positivity.
Exactly.
We are all in a place where we can look at this story, understand that Brittany was tapped, and all we know now is that
be careful of tapped people, innit?
Be careful of tapped people, and then just also know that people are mad. Like,
yeah,
people are very, very mad in this life, and yeah, just be careful.
But yeah, that was a very insightful story on work relationships and how to sort of navigate in those spaces. But thank you so much, CMO. And thank you, lovely listeners, for listening. Please let us know your thoughts. What do you think about this case? What do you think about Brittany? What are our thoughts with Dana? There's a lot going on. Speak to us and let us know. And if you like some of the ideas that we threw out in this podcast, also let us know, as I'm really feeling that idea of trying to get Brittany and speak to her and find out her side of the story. But let us know if you like.
I'm not going to lie, I don't want to speak to that girl.
Damini won't be on that podcast. Me and CMO will be there eating popcorn, ready for it.
Honestly.
But yes, you've been listening to Sharon, Damini, and CMO, and it was lovely speaking with you guys, and we shall catch you next time.
Yep. Follow us on the socials.
That's what I say. In the meantime, follow us on our socials at Mr. Mina on Twitter and Instagram. And also send us emails at MrMeanwhile@gmail.com. Let us know any ideas or any murders you'd like us to cover. But bye, guys.
Bye. Thanks for listening.